skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been before. And deep within I feel my soul is stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming rumors spread across the land that a child protected well from Herod's anger is our Father's Son and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here I can tell. God is in us, God is for us. He's a Savior we have been praying for. In our humble hearts He will dwell. God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. I feel compelled to tell all who will listen, peace on earth is not so out of reach. If we can find grace and mercy and forgiveness, He has come to say, use all of these. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here I can tell. God is
there we are. Good morning. Let's try this again. It's good to have you all here. God bless you. Good to see your faces. And good morning to all of you watching online today. We're so glad you joined us as well. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus and that alone. So worship with us today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
We can see it, God, you're moving, and we can feel it in our bones. Turn our hearts to all you're doing. With a shout, we cry, with a shout, we cry. Open wide heaven's gates, and let your glory are filled with expectation.
Yes, we are.
As we're reaching for your throne, there's an anthem, hear it rising. With a shout, we cry, with a shout, we cry. Open wide heaven's gates, and let your glory. Like your presence, God.
your praise in here. Hallelujah. Open wide heaven's gates. That's what we need for His presence to fill this place today. Amen. There's nothing like your presence, God. And Lord, we need to be refreshed in your presence. As you'll hear later in the sermon in the book of Acts, he says, repent and turn so that there will be times of refreshing in the Lord's presence. And that's what we need today, to be refreshed in his presence. Amen. How we need you today, Lord. present help in time of need, my shelter, my tower. You are my shield. Think about it. My strength, my portion, deliver, my shelter, strong tower. Yes, my very presence. Sing it again. You are my shield. Oh, yes, you are my shield. My strength. Him to be all of that and more. If you don't know him that way today, I pray you will meet him today as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord.
It is well, and through it all. My eyes are on.
Yes.
And through it all.
Yes.
Through it all, it is well. And through it all. Through it all. My eyes are on you. It is well with me.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap that we can say, it is well with my soul. Amen. The waves and winds still know his name. Amen. He spoke, peace be still. And the waves and the winds obeyed him. And the storms that we face today, they still know his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is here today. Let's worship him. I don't know about you, but that's why I came today, to worship him. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Yes, you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, yes, he is. Sing it now.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Yes, you are here, touching every heart. And I worship you. I worship you, and you are here, healing every heart.
Heal us, Lord.
I worship you. I worship you.
Come on now. He is the waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, yes, you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Come on, sing again. Oh, yes, that's who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
And you are here, turning lives around. And I worship you. You. Yes, you are here, mending every...
Oh, mend our hearts today, Lord.
I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, sing that verse again.
Yes, you are here. You're turning lives around. And I worship you.
Oh,
mend our hearts today, Lord.
You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
That is who you are. Yes, it is.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, yes, it is. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Say it like you mean it.
Never say it like a confession.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Never stop.
No, he never stops.
Never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop. Never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Sing it again.
Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Sing it again.
My God, that is who you are.
Oh, he's the Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Sing that bridge again. Sing that bridge.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Never stop working.
Oh, he never stops.
Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. Never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
One more time. Come on, sing it. Oh, sing it.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So good to have you in the house of God today. Is it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that one. The one that Courtney plays so good. Bless the Jesus. I will bless the Jesus. I know. I know the Lord wants to touch your life today. You know, Trevor and I don't go over our notes or anything like that. She doesn't know what I'm speaking on. And all this week, I kept hearing her say, times are refreshing. Last night in the prayer service, she kept saying, times are refreshing in your presence, God. She had no idea that was in my sermon. Times are refreshing. You know, the first service is not like the second service. Second service is not like the first service. We just want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and let Him touch you, because He knew you would be in this service. You're not a number. You're His son. You're His daughter. So I just want us to sing this song, which most of us know by heart. And I just want you, in your mind, to get away from everyone, and it's just you and Jesus. And just let the Holy Spirit refresh you today in His presence. So as we sing this chorus, let's just worship Him. So take a few moments. We're not in a hurry. We just want to spend time with Him.
And now, oh.
sing it to me.
For thou, O Lord, art high of all the earth, and thou art exalted far above all clouds.
Oh, we lift you high today, Lord.
For thou, O
seated. Hallelujah. We're not receiving an offering, but we, if you want to give an offering, the box is on the wall. If you're watching us online today, you can get on our website and give online. It's bridgeofhopeparis.org, and you can certainly give online. We appreciate your faithfulness. This church has been extremely faithful in a time of difficulty. I appreciate Ella singing that song. It is well. You know, the original hymn was written by Horatio Spafford, and it was after he lost his entire family at sea, and he was going back overseas. I think his wife made it. All the children died. And so he was going back overseas from Chicago to England. And it's about the spot that the pilot told him, this is where the ship went down. And these words came into his heart, it is well with my soul. Now that did not mean that he was not grieving. It did not mean that his heart was not still broken. But what it did mean is he understood who his God was. And he declared, it is well with my soul. See, God never said that we wouldn't go through difficulty. God never said we wouldn't have viruses, right? You have tribulations of all kinds. He did say, I'll go through the fire with you. I'll go through the flood with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there with you at all times. So don't ever feel like you're alone, because you're not. He's with us. Amen. I titled the sermon today, We Have Something to Give. And this is not talking about finances. This is talking about who you are as a believer. We have something to give. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I want to read one verse in Acts chapter 2, and then I'm going to skip over to chapter 3, and we'll read the first 19 verses. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people and he said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power, our godliness, we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brother, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ should suffer, he thus has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word that brings soundness to us. Your word changes us, metamorphosis, Lord, happens in our lives as we're transformed by the renewing of our minds through the word of God. God, I pray today, Lord, let the transformation happen in us. God, we may see ourselves as worthless, but Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would show us today that there is something so valuable in us, that we have something to share, something to give to others. So God, I pray that you would have your perfect work, Lord, not only in these that are gathered here, but in those that will watch us, Lord, through Facebook. God, we just pray, Lord, that your spirit would move into their homes, that you would touch their lives, that they would be encouraged as the presence of God envelops all around them and touches their heart. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I wanted to start off today just by reviewing some for over the last few weeks. We've been preaching on the Holy Spirit and what he does in your life. And in John chapter 20, Jesus has died and rose from the grave and gone to the Father, and he comes back and he comes in to be with the disciples. And the Bible says he breathed on them and said these words, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." And so that was their salvation experience. They received the Holy Spirit. The word "breathe" is just like when God breathed into Adam. It said, it's called Zoe, the breath of God. God breathed into him and he became a living soul. When God breathed into the disciples, he breathed the Holy Spirit into their bodies. That's a salvation experience. When you get saved, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, what we understand is the Holy Spirit comes in. The breath of God comes in, basically, into you, and you're changed. You're a new creation in Christ. But what I want you to understand is this is not the clever words of a preacher. This is the words of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, he tells the disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Acts chapter 1, he said, "I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit." Two very separate things: receive, be baptized. Man did not create that. Jesus was the first one to ever speak that. The word baptize means immersed. It's baptismo in the Greek. It's an immersement. It actually comes from the cloth industry, where they would take a piece of cloth and they would baptize it in dye and bring it out so it would be a different color. You realize when you're baptized into Jesus, you're put down into water, you come up a new creature in Christ. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, something else happens. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. That's the word dunamis, which we get the word dynamite. You're going to receive dynamite in your soul. And he says, what's that dynamite for? So that you would become witnesses. Now, there's one word, you got to catch it, and it's the word be. That you would be my witnesses. It does not say that you would do witnessing. So much of the church has got into doing things, but we have forgot to be. Does it make sense? You need to be. Jesus is not interested in your doing. He's interested in your being. He gave you power to become. And the word witness is the same word, the Greek word, that we get martyr from. So he's saying, I want you to become a living dead man. So when you get saved, what you're really saying to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I want to die to myself that you may live large in me. Now that's not preached real often, because we're getting people saved that are still living their life. When Jesus said, follow me, do what I do, say what I say, become a little me, in other words. So we died. Remember John? He's one of the first ones that said this. I must decrease that he must increase, right? He was talking about his ministry. John was the man for a while. But John had, he had no problems with ego. He said, no, I must decrease because I'm not the man. There's one coming that I'm not worthy to unlace his shoes, right? He's the man, I'm not. All I've done is make way for him to enter into this world. John knew who he was. So the Bible says, Jesus said, stay together. Stay in Jerusalem. Something powerful is getting ready to happen. And then Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were in one place, in one accord. I said last week, the spirit of division is the Antichrist spirit. It's strictly from the pit of Satan. And the spirit of division is moving in and out of churches and homes and businesses. And every one of us have partaken in that. And we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. When you stand in judgment of someone, you're standing in a spirit of division. And how many of us do that? We stand in judgment to our mayors. We stand in judgment to our governors. We stand in judgment to our president. I said something one time from this pulpit negative about the president of the United States. I no sooner got out of this building when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, when have you ever been president? And I said, well, I think I'm in trouble. Never, Lord. He said, then what do you have the right to speak against him? You know, I don't care what side you're on. It doesn't matter to me. Democrat, Republican, Independent. Whoever's in the White House, this goes the same. You don't have the right. You do not have the right to run him down. You know what you do have the right to do? You have the right to pray for him. You may totally disagree with his politics, and you have that right in America, and I thank God for that right. But our right as children of God is to pray, not criticize, not stand in judgment, not gossip, not run him down. Pray for him. And does Donald Trump need prayer? Absolutely, in massive doses of it. We have never been this way before, right? I think any president needs massive doses of prayer from the church. So let's talk about this story. It says that Peter and John was going to the temple to pray. Now, I want you to catch who Peter is. Peter's a coward. Now, some of you don't see that because you think, no, Peter's the guy that tried to cut off that servant's ear with a sword. You see, Peter was brave as long as Jesus stood beside him. But when he was by himself, he was a coward. Remember the servant girl said, aren't you one of... No, I don't even know the guy. And actually cussed just to prove it, right? I'm going to act totally different than Jesus. And he used his words to do it. That's a sermon all by itself. So by himself, he was a coward. But when the Holy Spirit came in him, baptized on the day of Pentecost, 50 days past the Passover, something powerful happened. No longer did Jesus have to stand beside him. Jesus is in him. The power of Jesus is in him. No longer is he a coward. He is a brave man because something's different about Peter. He is the guy that stood on the day of Pentecost and preached to the city, and 3,000 people got saved that day. So now he's going into the temple, and there lays a guy that's been lame all of his life, all from his mother's womb. He's laying there every day. Let me tell you, they didn't lay that guy there just by accident. They laid him there on purpose because they knew the most generous people in the world are going into the house of God. And that has not changed today. The most generous people in the world are Christians, I believe. If we're not, we're supposed to be. So they had him at the right spot, and it happened to be the right time when two people full of faith was walking by, and he's looking at them. He looks at them for just a brief moment just to catch their attention. You got something to give me? Now, remember, there was no Social Security. There was no Social Security disability. He had no income. This is the way he ate, is by begging at this temple gate every day. So he's begging them, hey, have you got something you can spare? And Peter, this guy looks at them, he says that same, and then he's finding somebody. I need to, they're not responding real quick now. Who else can I holler to? So he's moving his head, and Peter said, look at us. Catches his attention. Look at me. He said, I don't have what you think you need, but I have what you really need. I don't have any money. There's nothing. I didn't bring cash today, but there's something within me that will rock your world. It will change your life forever. And what I have, I am going to share with you today. Reaches his hand out, grabs that man by the right arm. Think about this guy. What's going through his mind? What's he thinking? He feels nothing in his legs. The Bible says that when Peter pulled him up, strength then came into his ankles and feet and legs. It's when Peter was grabbing him and yanking him up. That's when the miracle happened. I titled this, We Have Something to Give. What I really like, the title that I wrote in my Bible years ago, is The Day the Crippled Dance in Church, because that's what happened. The Bible says as Peter and them went on into the church, that guy clinging to them, that he would not let go of Peter and John. He had them by the arm, dancing the whole way. He got his feet back, praise the Lord. You know, he had strength in his legs. He never experienced walking before. How would you act? I'm telling you, God did something mighty in this man's life. There's some things I want to show you in Scripture today. And that's why I started in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. 3,000 people that knew nothing about Jesus, knew nothing about Christianity, got saved in one day, the day the church was born. They began to meet house to house. They began to have meals together and break bread together, take communion together. But it was about the doctrine of the apostles. They began to teach each other the things of God. In other words, this was all about being a disciple. A disciple is a self-disciplined learner, a follower totally committed to Jesus Christ. A disciple is a self-disciplined learner or a follower totally committed to Jesus Christ. Quite honestly, most of us don't like the word discipline, to be disciplined. But I want you to know, if you're going to grow in the Lord, if you're going to grow in your walk with Jesus, there needs to be some spiritual discipline in your life. Pentecostals are the worst. We like just to flow by the Spirit, and we never settle ourselves down to be disciplined. But if you want to be good at anything, there's going to be a lot of discipline in your life. We look at these people that are marathon runners, or, you know, artists, or pianists, or anything like that, any kind of a person. They have disciplined themselves through years. Doctors, lawyers, they have given themselves to an art, to study. And in the church, we fly by the seat of our pants. Shame on us. There's some spiritual disciplines that we need to have in our life. Number one is unity. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. Jesus, that's his prayer for us, actually. He said, Father, as you and I are one, make them one. That was the prayer when he was leaving. When Jesus, one of the last things he said to his disciples was, stay unified. Stay in one accord. There are 42,000 different denominations today in our world. Do you think we've stayed unified? No. We've let every little thing divide us. If I see one thing positive about the coronavirus, I see that it's unifying the church. And I don't mean the Assemblies of God as the church. I mean the body of Christ is the church. So we need unity. The second thing is prayer and fasting. We need to be people of prayer. What was the disciples doing? It was the hour of prayer, and they were headed to the temple. They were disciplined in their walk with God. They were going to the house to pray. You need to be prayers. You need to be people of prayer. We need to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, make an appointment with God every day, certain time of the day. Say, I will meet with you, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to study your word. And then meditation. Meditation is, we think of it sometimes as being evil, but God created meditation. The word meditate means chew the cud. It's chewing on something all day long. You read a short little Bible verse and you chew on that thing all day long. God, what are you saying in this verse? What message is in this thing for me? All day long you're thinking about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. You're not thinking about the coronavirus. That's why we're so scared, is we've been thinking about the coronavirus more than we've been thinking about God. God's bigger than the coronavirus. We need to be people of worship and giving. I always put giving with worship because giving is a type of worship. So we give as a worship to God. We need to be people of confession. Now, we're people of mouth. We like to talk, but our talk sometimes ruins us, right? Our talk deceives us. We think that talk is not important, so we just frivolously let things out of our mouth. I know a lady wasn't even saved. She taught her daughters, don't let that out into this world. Don't even let that out into the world. You be careful what you say. Here's what I think. I think as you study the Word of God, as you meditate on this Word, you ought to start confessing this Word over yourself. You ought to say what it says over you, and you ought to do it regularly. That's a confession of faith that will change your life. And the last thing is we need to share our faith. This is a daily discipline. We need what you have learned. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is real easy to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So who is this? Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, the things that you have learned from me, here's Timothy, here's Paul. Paul says, son, the things that you have learned, I want you now to commit them to faithful people that will also teach. Here's my saying, you hear me say it a lot. God never expected us to be dams. He wants us to be rivers. The things that God does for us, He wants to flow out of us. God never expected the church to sit and just get fatter and fatter by the moment. We're just hoarders. You know, you've seen that show on TV before. I've been in hoarders' houses before. I've walked in their houses. It's a sickness. It's a mental illness. And it's in the church all the time. We are spiritual hoarders. God doesn't want it. It's a mental illness in the church. We need to get the mind of Christ. The things that you have heard, the things that you have received, it is your responsibility to give. Start talking to people. There's three elements about discipleship. Number one, it's always intentional. If you wait till you feel like you want to study, if you wait till you feel like you want to pray, you will not be a person of prayer and study. It's not about the way you feel. It's a spiritual discipline. It always requires intentionality. You must be intentional about this. Number two, it's always relational. It's because you have a relationship with Jesus. He's imparted things to you. Now you have a relationship with others. You impart them. Think about the disciples, the original 12 disciples. Walked with Jesus for 3 years, day and night. What's Jesus doing? He is imparting to them. This is a total different world, right? I mean, something totally different has come into this world. It's not Judaism. Something totally better. And so he is speaking into their life. It's relational. It's relational. You must have a relationship with me as you come to this church and I try to spiritually feed you and see what the Lord wants from you. But you have relationships outside of this church that God wants you to begin to disciple others. Praise God, that should have got an amen. The third element of discipleship, it's always about deployment. It's always, the end goal is always about you go out. You give. Matthew 28:18, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Doesn't mean you have to leave the house of the Lord. You may stay at Bridge of Hope your entire life, but your job is to go into this world. Wherever you work, wherever you live, share the keys of the kingdom. The disciples were headed to the temple for their hour of prayer. I find that prayer opens our eyes to people's needs, to the needs of people. You know, I think that so often as Christians, we try not to make direct eye contact with people that are begging, people that are saying, I need help. It's like if you don't look at them, conviction doesn't hit your heart, so you don't have to give to them. So when people come up and say, will you help me? They hold that sign up. We start to turn the other way. No one told Peter that. He didn't know. Don't look at him in the eyes. And aren't you thankful that no one told Peter about don't look at him? Turn your ear to him. You know, turn a deaf ear to him. Don't listen. I am thankful that Peter not only was going to prayer, but he has been in prayer. He's attentive to the Spirit being pulled in him. He said, young man, he said, I don't have what you're looking for, but I have what you need. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Reaches down, touches that man, changes him totally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Therefore, Courtney, therefore, Sandy, therefore, Treva, slip your name in there. Don't leave it as brother. Got me? Come on, put your name there. Therefore, Eric, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's the work of the Lord? It's to do good. Ephesians 2:10 said that we are His workmanship, created to do good work. That is the original calling of every disciple, every Christian. We are to abound in good work. Now, you do not work to get to heaven. Salvation is not about work. But when you get saved, it creates something in you that now you have something to give. We walk in faith, expecting to see God move on our behalf. You know, I think it's interesting when he says, hey, look at us. Peter says that, look at me. The Bible says very intently, it says, the man looking ready to receive. He thought, if this guy is getting my attention, he's got something for me. The trouble with Christians is we don't expect much. We pray and never expect God to move. Shame on us. The Bible says in Mark 11, have faith in God. When you say to this mountain, be thou removed, you ought to expect it to tremble and start heading to the sea, right? Whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, you get. I said this morning, the trouble with us is we have Christianity. We're schizophrenic Christians. God doesn't know what's coming out of our mouth next. One moment we're speaking to the mountain, the next moment we said, well, we didn't really expect it to move. Well, he said we could do that, but I didn't really believe it. Well, bless God, that's your problem. We can't fake this one until you make it. You just need to get alone with the Lord until it's become so real. This says the original Greek says, don't have faith in God. It says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. In other words, God imparts in you some of Him. You get that? You know why you have something to give? It's not about your good looks. It's not about how smart you are, how creative you are. It's about Christ in you. It's about the Holy Ghost is in you. Therefore, you have something to give. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 17, that Elijah was a man with a nature like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. You know, most of the time when Christians read the Bible, they see the people in the Word of God and they think, boy, that's somebody special. No, he wasn't. He was just like you. You ever thought if God was writing a book today that maybe your name might be in it? I got a feeling it's as silent in the homes as it is in this house right now. We have a hard time understanding that, don't we? Elijah was not something special. Peter was not something special until the Holy Ghost came in. That's what makes them special. It's what makes you special. You know, you don't choose God. He chooses you. He sees something in you that He delights in, that He says, there's an available heart that I want to move into. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, we have this treasure. Y'all know what a treasure is. Something you hide. Something you try to protect. It says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. What's that earthen vessel? It's this body. You know, when you die, I don't know if you've ever seen anyone die before. It's real obvious when that spirit leaves that body. That shell's still there, but the nut's gone, right? I mean, the soul is the person. He says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not about you. It's about who is in you. See, if you get to thinking it's about you, your head begins to swell. You begin to get this ego that you think you're something when you're not. You know what you are? You're a conduit. You're just something that the Lord moves through. But don't dam up the conduit. Let the conduit move. Let God use your vessel. Because that's why He is in us. That's why the Holy Spirit at salvation comes in you. That's why He said, I want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that I can speak through you. so that one day when you're walking down the court square of Paris, you can reach out and you can say, hey, God wants to change your life. How about the man that walks around with the sign of hatred? You know what? Jesus Christ loves him. Jesus Christ wants to change that man. I knew that man 20 years ago, and he wasn't the man he is today. He wasn't a man of hatred and division. Jesus loves him. I would just like to ask him one day, has ever a Christian come to you and said, can I pray for you? Jesus loves those that are standing by the road saying, I don't have a job. I need food. When have you ever stopped your car and got out and said, I'm not giving you money. I don't have any of that, but I do have something that could change your world. I know a Savior. May I pray for you? I would almost guarantee you they'll allow you to pray for them. You have something of great value. Something of great value that is within you. Let's give him out. We are not supposed to shrink back. We are not to, you know, I find that sometimes the church seems like they want to fly under the radar, especially during the coronavirus. I found this. I found that the church just wants to sort of fly low. Well, let's not be noticed. And I want to stand up and just scream it. No, let's be noticed, because there is something in us as believers that can change this world. I said a statement the other day, it wasn't original to me, but it says when enough believers get together and begin to pray over society, God will put an eviction notice on Satan's door and he'll kick him out of that society. I mean, if the churches of Henry County would get together, there's 200 churches in this town. If all of us begin to get together and pray, what do you think would happen? We've been pleading the blood of Jesus over this region. And I believe God has kept us healthy. God has kept us safe. And I thank the Lord for that. Hebrews 10:39 says, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then verse 35 and 36 before that says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the patience, and you may receive the promise. You have need of patience. So after, the most important time of the believer is not when they're praying, it's right after they prayed. Because right at that moment, you can veto your own prayer. For the next period of time, from this moment when you pray to when you receive, that is an extremely important time to watch your words. You have need of patience that you would endure this time to receive, till you receive the promise. But don't pray and then speak against your prayer. If you pray for healing, speak healing. Don't speak death. If you're praying for salvation, quit calling them a heathen. Start calling them a saint. How many people have maybe jokingly heard people say, well, that kid's going to wind up in jail? A lot of times it's not a joke. They really say that about the next generation. Sometimes it's their own blood. You know what my mom called me? Precious. Come here, precious. She was a woman of faith. Look at me. Look how precious I am today. I wish she had called me something else, maybe. The last thing I want to tell you, next to last thing, is Jesus has given us his power of attorney. When he left, now, a lot of people don't understand, but God is very just. God is very legal. He does things legally right. He does not skip steps. He does things legally. If I gave my power of attorney to Tommy back there, Tommy has the right to write checks on my account, and I can't sue him because I gave him my power of attorney. I would not give it to Pat. My house would get filled with flowers if I gave it to Pat. Jesus died, and he said, I need representatives on this earth. So therefore, I give you the power that my Father gave me. I give you this to represent me, to speak like I speak, to do like I do. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to finish the work. Now, Jesus finished his work on the cross, but the work of God is still continuing, right? As long as people draw breath on this earth, there's a mission. Oh, come on, somebody's got to come alive in this church. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the mission statement. As long as people are being born, they're being born as sinners. They need a meeting with the Savior, and you are his representative. You have the right to act under God's authority. And guess what? The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will remain forever. God watches his word. And when it comes out of your mouth, it's just like coming out of the mouth of Jesus, because it's being backed up. You know, there was a day when the money of America was backed up. Right? Today it's just paper. It's all about a belief system. We could wake up tomorrow and every one of us be dead broke. Could have a mountain of cash and not be worth a dime. You better know who you believe. You better know who your provider is. It's not your bank account. It's not your retirement. You can work as hard as you can work. You can have all the stock in the world, and it could be worthless. My Redeemer lives. He is my source. I trust in him. The last thing I wanted to tell you was verse 19. It says, basically, your salvation, your sins are blotted out when you repent and you're converted, so that what can happen? Times of refreshing. That does not say time of refreshing. It says times of refreshing. In other words, it does say time of refreshing, actually. Who typed that? It's supposed to be times of refreshing will come in his presence, because we need refreshed over and over and over. My goodness, I can sure get in trouble as a preacher, can't I? It doesn't matter. I just get in trouble. I know that today, many of you, this is your first time in the house of God in quite some time. Doesn't mean that you've quit praying. Doesn't mean that you quit believing. It doesn't mean that you quit being in the face of God, you know, seeking him. But there is something refreshing about coming together as a church. We have elongated the worship services because I know that people need refreshed. It's good. God never created us to be alone. I said this morning, I said, every wild animal knows this. Every wild animal, when they're on the hunt, they don't go for the herd. They try to separate one away from the pack. And that's the one they're going to attack. What has Satan done? He separated us from the body. We've got to stay connected. Now, we can stay connected through a phone. We can stay connected through a Zoom call. We can stay connected through texting. There's so many avenues that we can start to stay connected. But nothing replaces coming together and worshiping the Lord. So I believe, you know, I took some chairs out this week. I just want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel safe in the house of God, but we need each other. There's something about corporate worship, lifting your hands in the sanctuary. Times of refreshing comes in his presence. Amen. Stand with me as we pray. As we pray, I wish that you would also be mindful of those that will be watching us live on Facebook. You know, this has amazed me, but We've had people from Canada watching us. We've had people in California watching us. I've had family members and friends that I have known 30, 40 years ago that have been watching us as we preach the word. So God is doing something amazing, not just with us. 80,000 preachers are preaching on Facebook since the coronavirus. So God is using something as an avenue of speaking to people. So when we pray, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray that times of refreshing will come from those that are watching this today. Would you do that with me? Father God, I just come before you today, and I'm so thankful that we're able to again to meet together. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Governor Lee. God, that he is very mindful of the importance of the house of God. God, I thank you for that man. I thank you, Lord, that he has done well, Lord, leading this state. I pray, God, that you would continue to bless him, continue to give him wisdom. Lord, I know his heart is to do right. I know his heart is to protect Tennesseans. God, he needs wisdom like the rest of us. God, we pray for our president, Lord. We pray for Congress. God, give them wisdom. Lord, may there be a right spirit in each one of them to make correct decisions, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that there would be a strong spirit of the wisdom of God flowing through the White House, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that his heart would be transformed totally. Father, renew his mind. Lord, we know that you use him. God, but mostly I pray for those that, under the sound of my voice, through Facebook, in this house today, God, I pray for the spirit of refreshing to touch each one of us. Lord, some of us may be extremely dry in our spirit, and God, you are concerned about this. Lord, I thank you, Lord, the way Peter and John acted. Lord, that's our example, Father, of how we are to act wherever we are. There is something so valuable in us. Peter said that we have the nature to be the divine nature of God within us. God, help us to share the divine. Help us to share the living word, Father. God, refresh each and every person by your spirit. Lord, in their homes, in this house, God, may your spirit wash over them and touch them and refresh them today in the holy name of Jesus. God, I'm so thankful that you care when we hurt. God, I know, Lord, there's people who have been through great difficulty. God, this coronavirus is real. And many, many people has lost their lives across America. God, each one of them leaves people behind that love them. God, there's been funerals that people couldn't attend. There's been weddings that couldn't invite family, graduations that couldn't invite people to celebrate with them. Lord, this virus has taken a toll on our world. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would get involved in our situation. Lord, we trust you. We know that you are greater than the coronavirus. I pray, God, that you would touch those that are hurting today, that you would heal those that are sick today, and that you would protect each one of us from getting this disease. Father, before there's ever a vaccination, I believe that you can inoculate us, God. You can protect us by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We believe in Psalms 91. We are wanting to dwell in the secret place of the Almighty. Protect us with your power. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you. So great to see you today. I hope that you come back next Sunday, invite more people.